back. Happy Yule, happy solstice. We're going to get into that in a moment. This is also my last episode of the podcast, as you know it, as Badass Bitches Tarot. I'm really excited. It kind of feels like when you grew something really cool in a tiny home or a tiny apartment and you've evolved out of it and you can now have a bigger space and a more expansive space, but you're still like, oh my gosh, this is where like I grew my little thing. I remember that feeling when I moved out of my Toronto apartment with my best friend Lisa, and we were crying like Rachel and Monica on Friends. And I feel kind of bittersweet about this. I'm really excited. The new podcast is going to launch in January. So this is, it's the last podcast of 2020. It's the last official Badass Bitches Tarot podcast. The new podcast still grounded and the root of it all in tarot. I mean, that's my major. It's what I know. It's what I teach. But there's also going to be incorporating a lot more modalities and magic, which I kind of already do in terms of herbology, having different healers, having kind of different forms of magic. And I think the title is just going to reflect that. It's now going to be called Hex in the City. Very me, very appropriate. And we're going to have some incredible new guests, much better technology and sound. That's launching in January. So I believe everything will redirect from Badass Bitches Tarot to Hex in the City. But don't worry, there's going to be updates on that on my social. Everything is going to be under the podcast name Hex in the City with Cardsy B. You can probably search Cardsy B and find everything because that's how you can find a lot of my stuff online as it is now anyway. So that being said, happy official last episode. Thank you for all of you who stayed with me, who grew this to the point that it's now successful hugely internationally and that I have a producer and that I'm able to really up-level the podcast. That is all because of you. I remember starting this out thinking that like a handful of my besties and my ex-wife, who's also one of my besties, were the only people listening. I'm like, well, there's five people that are interested. And now I can't believe where it's grown in 2 years. So I'm so incredibly grateful. And that is something that I'm definitely celebrating this Yule. So thank you. That being said, I know I said I was going to be a little more sporadic on the YouTube. I thought I'd give you a YouTube for Yule for the solstice because I have some things I want to share visually, and this is just a better medium for when I'm sharing recipes and herbology and that sort of thing. So let's just dive into it. As our last episode for December, for the year, we're going to get into all of the 2021 energies, year of the Hierophant, in our first episode of the new podcast. But let's wrap up 2020. We're exiting the Emperor, that card that is all about structure, foundation. A lot of us don't like the Emperor. You know, we think of it as the patriarchy, unnecessary rules and regulations. I technically, you know, when I was learning, I didn't love the Emperor because I saw him as this rigid man in the Smith Rider weight on this podium. And I feel like in a lot of ways, this has been this year, a lot of, oppression for many people, a lot of rules and regulations that maybe didn't make sense, didn't resonate for you. So we are exiting the Emperor, bye-bye, and we're moving into the Hierophant. Not always an easy energy either, but you know, in my deck, she's Oprah. She's the aha moment. She's the life lesson. She's the catalyst for progressive change. So I think there's still going to be some challenging aspects for sure of 2021. As much as I'm an optimist, I'm not one of the people that's like, oh, when the vaccine comes and back to normal. I think that, you know, the world as we know it, we exited that. I've talked about this before since the spring equinox in March. We're not going back to the world as we know it, but we're building something new. And I am excited for that. And who better to lead us than the Oprah vibes of the Hierophant for 21. So that being said, let's take a look at our end of, what do we have here? Our end of 2020 and the December cards again. So first, Sagittarius season. We are at the telltale end of Sagittarius. My season, my sun sign, Temperance. And as we know, she is this alchemizing angel. This sacral chakra, heart chakra card. Sagittarius, sacral chakra, heart chakra because of the water energy and Temperance. It's really, it is a heart chakra expander of how we talked about this last week for those of you who caught the last week episode of the being able to hold space, you know, in our heart for other people's truth, for other people's perspectives, and while still really staying true to our own and owning our authentic truth, but being able to say, I can see your truth, I can hold space for it, but I don't have to bend to it if it's not in resonance with mine. And I think that we've seen a lot of this year, but wrapping up the year with that alchemy of kind of knowing that I can have my truth and I can know in my heart how I need to proceed, how I need to move forward, but also being able to have empathy, have compassion, and have kindness for those who don't share the same perspectives and the same truths as we do. And we have a bonus card, like I always call out in every episode in December. I love December. It's like a little Yule, a little Hexmas gift to the collective that we also have. Oh, sorry. We have Wheel of Fortune as our bonus card because this is ruled by Jupiter. So again, Jupiter is also sacral chakra. I'll get more into the chakras because we got an interesting question about that in my emails through my website that I do want to address. And I like that some of you are drawn to different areas of the card. Some people, I'm a big numerology. That's kind of the biggest thing aside from the archetypes that has always stood out to me. But I try to share the numerology, the astrology, the chakra tie-in. So a lot of you gravitate towards different parts of this. And I've got some really good feedback about the chakra system and how you'd like to learn more about that. So I will address that in a minute. But Wheel of Fortune, sacral chakra because of Jupiter, as well as crown chakra because of that movement, that downloading, that channeling of the wheel of forward motion. And as we kind of go forward in Wheel of Fortune, of we can't go backwards. It goes back to like, no, the world's not going to go back to what it was. We cannot go backwards. That's the beauty of Wheel of Fortune. We can only ascend. We can only evolve. And sometimes that is sporadic of, you know, there are highs and lows in the wheel. It's not always up, 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 Shania Twain. Wish it were. But it's that it's not going to go back to exactly what it was. I mean, even if, have you ever gotten back together with an ex? And whether this worked out and it was the love of your life and you're now, you know, cohabitating or married, it probably didn't go back to what it was. It probably ascended for the better, you know? Or like me, you've gotten back with an ex and been like, oh, should have learned that lesson the first time. Noted, it hasn't evolved and I have, so I have to move forward. That's very Wheel of Fortune. It's constant ascension, constant movement, constant evolution and change. So we're now wrapping the year with the wheel of like when we look back at who we were when this all started, for many of us, that was March. Or even look back at the year of 2020 as a whole. I guarantee, especially because you're listening to this podcast, watching this station, you've ascended. You're awake. If you're following this work and in this work of healing and kind of interconnection and channeling and downloads, you have absolutely evolved. Even if you were pretty woke before, you've woken up more in this year, right? And that's Wheel of Fortune. So this is the time, and I think with the celebration of Yule, the things we can give gratitude for, give gratitude for that, for your own evolution and ascension, for where you've become kinder, more conscious, you know, more connected to yourself and to the universe, you know, to your guides, to your higher self. Where has the Wheel of Fortune led you in that direction? I think obviously I'm Sag Sun. These are my favorite cards, you know, and these are some of definitely Wheel of Fortune. It's why I made it Madonna, Queen of Reinvention, my queen, my great love, my whole life. Wheel of Fortune is my favorite major. And I love Temperance. I love the vibes of how we're closing this year with such consciousness and such strength in our change and our evolution. The last card I have for the month was the card that I pulled from the January 2020 overview. I'm really excited for our new poll. That's going to be the first episode of 2021 to look at what are those energies. I'm sure we're all dying to know, myself included. We know we're being led by the Hierophant. We've got Oprah at the wheel, so feeling pretty good about that. It may be, you know, if you... I'm digressing, but if you love Oprah, you follow Super Soul Sessions, she's a healer, but she also cracks some shit open. I feel like when you look at, you know, the teachers and healers that she has in her arsenal, we've got Dr. Phil, who is very no BS. We have Yanla Van Zandt, who I freaking love. She will call your shit out. So the Hierophant by no means is going to be easy, but it's going to be progress and it's going to be healing. Anyway, back to our last card, which is a little bit gentler energy. We have Eight of Wands, the RuPaul card, Mercury in Sagittarius. And this is, in terms of the chakra system, we have that Mercury throat chakra, and then Wands, fire energy, solar plexus. So where are we getting empowering news? Where are we sharing empowering news this Sagittarius, this December? And I think a lot of us may already have received that news. I've had a lot of great forward motion with my podcast, with even my practice in general. I've been fortunate enough to be a guest on a lot of amazing other podcasts recently that have brought in these Eight of Wands, this forward motion of new clients, new opportunities, new collaborations. Where are you seeing this, and where can you, again, celebrate the gratitude for this in Yule, in the solstice? When we kind of celebrate Eight of Wands, it allows more to come in. Eight of Wands is RuPaul in my deck. And when we think about RuPaul and, you know, Drag Race, when it's like, oh my gosh, yes, Mama Ru, thank you, she gives you more. So the more we're grateful for these opportunities, this positive news that's coming in, we're going to get more of that. And where can we share that Eight of Wands with others? Where can we, give genuine, connected, conscious affirmation? And that can be gratitude. That can be, where even in this, like I look at Eight of Wands of in terms of solar plexus and throat chakra. The people that share, that I find healing through, I talk a lot about Lori Ladd. I talk a lot about Feel Good. I donate to them constantly because I'm like, thank you for your throat chakra healing. And that's a way of me, solar plexus, giving back in that exchange of gratitude. So where can we give? It doesn't have to be money. If donating is not in the cards, if it's, that doesn't feel aligned, where can you give affirmation through the throat chakra to these people that are empowering your solar plexus? All right. So before I get into our questions, because this is our, I'm going to call it the Yule episode. I'm going to call it the Ask Card ZB. I'm going to call it our last Badass Bitches Tarot. I don't know what I'm titling it yet, but it may be one or all of the above. that being said, let's take a look at, let me move my, so I can find the Smith. I always pull these out so I can find the Rider-Waite side by side when I finish shuffling. All right. What is the universe? What do our guides want us to know? The collective for the week beginning December 21st, that powerful solstice and beginning of Yule. All right. We have the sun. So I love this. I love it's the annoying optimist card. It's the card that is clarity. It's, everyone, even if I'm sure if you Google the sun right now, and let me find this in the Rider-Waite deck. Hold on. Sun. Here we go. You can see, I mean, even in the old school imagery, and the Rider-Waite deck can be a little bit dark, a little bit patriarchal, and this card, there's nothing not to love. It's a happy baby. I'm not really a baby person. I know you're not supposed to say that, but it's a happy baby. It's not a crying, spitting, pooping baby. It's a happy baby. There's the sun. There's this magical white horse and all these sunflowers. It's like, you see this card. If you know nothing, you're like, yes to this. And if you Google the sun card, you'll see it's like the best card in the tarot, the yes card, the abundance card, the prosperity card. So this week, yes, we have the sun. I love this. In my deck, it's Cher, because Cher, when she walks on stage to a movie set, she is just, she lights it up with her ridiculous Bob Mackie outfits of a million Swarovski crystals, but just with that genuine illumination that she provides to the stage, to the world. That's sun energy. The other thing about the sun, though, this is ruled by solar plexus, solar plexus, obviously, the solar plexus chakra, is this provides illumination to our empowerment. And sometimes that sheds light on things that were previously in the dark, things that were in shadow. What do we need to see this week to really step into our empowerment, to feel like freaking Cher, to feel like this happy little baby in the OG card? I think that there's going to be, and this is usually the sun, sometimes even if it sheds light on things that are uncomfortable, the outcome is for more connectivity so that we can receive more love, receive more abundance. So there may be news this week around something with work for you, around a project that is kind of like, oh, that sheds light on that. Now I understand. Thank you, universe. There can also be something, and this is a hard time with connecting with family and loved ones. And I talked about this last week, that may not see the world in the same way as you, that may not be navigating and dealing with the things the way that you are navigating them. But the sun is going to shed light on, you know, and that goes back to the temperance of being able to hold other perspectives. Why do they think what they think, or why are they expressing it in this way? And when you see that, you can, you may come to the, like, I totally effing disagree, but I see why they see that. You know, I've had this with friends of mine where we're in very different dimensions, operating in different dimensions, you know, on this earth plane right now. But I'm like, I see why you see what you see. Doesn't mean that it's mine, but I can love you because I have that clarity, that sunlight being shown, right? So I think that there's some of this that's going to increase connectivity and increase acceptance and increase compassion. So the sun is bringing in that solar plexus light. I love this. Love that. All right. So let me get to, I'm going to pull up this email. Let me get to the first question. Okay. Melissa Dance. I hope I'm pronouncing that. It's a great last name. D-A-N-Z. I love this. So, hey girl, my sister-in-law dabbles in the tarot reading for fun. I mentioned to her that you usually state a connection between the chakras and the tarot cards. Can you please demo this? I love chakras and I notice a huge difference when I focus on them regarding anxiety, etc. I look forward to hearing this. Warmly, Melissa. Thank you, Melissa, and thank you for being a consistent listener. I love that. I love this question. So yeah, we did touch on this because we addressed the chakras in the cards of the month. So the way that this works, and a great resource for this of what I look at, because honestly, I don't have every single card in the chakra memorized. It's something that I associated later. I know the astrology, I know the numerology, but naturalchakrahealing.com is a great resource for this. And in terms of the astrological ruling, Sasha Graham's book, The Complete Smith Rider-Waite Tarot, is amazing. It's like this massive encyclopedia of all aspects of the tarot. So I recommend both of those resources in terms of the astrology and the tarot. So the way that this works with the chakra system, I'm going to show you two tricks that I use, is it's the, you know, when we talked about temperance, for example, of what is associated with Sagittarius. This is easier to break this down because there's only 12 signs, 3 if you associate Ophiuchus, 12 or 13 signs, depending on how you work in the zodiac. But there's a limited amount to learning the chakras, right? So in temperance, we know Sagittarius is associated with sacral chakra. Jupiter, Sagittarius. So that takes care of Wheel of Fortune and temperance of, like, cool, sacral chakra. The secondary energy comes from the card. So in temperance, water energy. Water is heart chakra. So sacral chakra, heart chakra in temperance. And also when we, like, you know, learn more about the temperance angel, and she's alchemizing energy and she's holding space, heart chakra. Sacral chakra is kind of that manifestation and also getting in there and doing, you know, that side of temperance of when to do, when to create, when to put out from the sacral chakra. Now, when we look at, okay, let's take a look back at Eight of Wands, our other card of the month from the January pull, when I was saying this is throat, Mercury. So looking at the astrology, this is Mercury and Sagittarius. Mercury, we know, is associated with throat chakra. Sagittarius, we know, is associated with sacral. So this is arguably, you could say Mercury and sacral chakra from manifestation, but solar plexus from the wands. So this is where it gets a little tricky. I use the suit. So Mercury is the first part, throat chakra, and wands, fire, solar plexus. Anything having to do with wands, fire, or the sun, fire, solar plexus. So throat and solar plexus in Eight of Wands. But again, great resources for this available that you can dive more deeply, or as you're pulling cards, if you're doing pulls, if you're doing a pull of the day and, like, I want to know what chakra that is. Natural Chakra Healing, Sasha Graham's book on the Smith Rider-Waite, The Complete Guide to the Smith Rider-Waite Tarot, both amazing resources. The other thing, when I said I'm going to teach you an additional trick, let me pull all of my cards back here. I pull in the spread that I designed, and I can send this to you in a PDF. I've worked with many spreads over the years. I have done the Celtic Cross most of when I was younger and I was learning. And then obviously the easier, like, past, present, future when you're just pulling a couple cards. But I created my own that's called the Card ZBX, and then it has the elemental cards. cards, which associate to not all of the chakras, but the four elements in the chakras that come through on that. So when I do my X, past, present, future, outside energies, and then I do the full four elemental cards, north, south, east, west. Okay, so north. We happen to have Wheel of Fortune after my shuffle here. North is earth energy. So that's root chakra stuff, right? It's the lower chakra system. I look at this as both earth energy in root of stability, security. And, you know, Wheel of Fortune in this is if this was in a reading for you specifically, Wheel of Fortune would be like, there's an evolution coming. There's an expansion in your root chakra. You're about to burst through some blocks. You're about to really take this to the next level. This could indicate the next level up in a job, a move in your home. Anything that's the earth root chakra stuff is usually like work and money, right? So in a pull, you can also pull for each individual chakra, like in a seven lineup, in a line, going from root chakra all the way up to crown. I do with the elements, and these elements often relate to multiple chakras. So in the east sector, this I look at as air energy. East is air energy, Mercury vibes, so very much throat chakra. This, we had Two of Cups just come up when I pulled this spread. Two of Cups, where can there be a little bit more harmony in the throat chakra? Where are the people that are conscious connections and healing for you? That, and maybe this is asking that you have a healing conversation. I know for me, like I always say, I'm such an extrovert. One of the things that is most healing is having just a phone call with one of my best friends. That can be like, that's resetting my throat chakra. You know, when I'm giving out a lot all day, someone that is a fair and equal exchange, Two of Cups in your throat chakra, I would say, where can you pull that in this reading? The south sector. Now, this is where I look at two chakras. South, fire energy. So I look at this as both the fire of sacral chakra, that manifesting passion, ambition of sacral, and also the empowerment of solar plexus in fire. So I have the Fool in this pull that I just did. So the Fool, there's something new, a brand new start, because this is sacral. This could be like new sexy vibes coming in, a new really meaningful connection that's also because of the solar plexus chakra association with the south center, the south fire part of the reading, could be where are you able to kind of reset your worth, your solar plexus, as a result of what's coming in, what you're manifesting through the sacral, whether that's a relationship, whether that's a job opportunity. That's really going to start the Fool, a brand new clean slate, you know, coming from your place of power and how you're manifesting moving forward. The west sector, I look at this as water energy. So this is, I look at this as both like the heart chakra and the third eye, because it's kind of water, our connection, our intuition, our empathy, that conscious cords of energy to, you know, our core people and to ourselves and to the universe. This, I pulled the Empress reversed in this little mock-up reading right now. So I would say this would be the Empress reversed. Where are you giving out more energy than you are receiving from your third eye and from your heart? Caretaking for others, being the problem solver with your third eye. I mean, this is probably a reading I'm pulling for myself. Many of these things feel like they're resonating for me as I pulled this. You know, as healers, which many of you who listen to this are, as healers, we often are so quick to use that third eye ability to help others, of like, I'm seeing it this way, if that is of resonance, if that is an alignment for you. And, you know, the heart chakra side of this in the Empress reverse is giving out, is the caretaking, the nurturing, where can I hold space, where can I help you? The reversal is just, that's awesome, and there's a lot of empowerment in caring and healing others, but where can we kind of put that back into a restorative balance and give back to ourselves? And that can be boundaries around time. That can be giving ourselves those regenerative activities, whether that's like, you know, taking a bath, taking a walk, chilling and just watching Netflix in Empress reversed. So that's how I read the chakra system in terms of an overview. Like I said, that does not address, I don't address, I think, crown chakra in that, because I have root, throat, sacral, solar plexus, crown, and heart. Yeah, so you're missing, third eye and heart. So I don't address the crown. I look at the crown as the center card in my poll of kind of like, what are your guides? What does the universe want you to know? But if you want a more simplified version, you can also do a 7-card lineup on the side of any spread, and that's a great chakra spread. This is just how I pull the chakras through in mine, for what that's worth, since it's a chakra tarot question. All right, our second question is, okay, we have Elizabeth in Burlington, Vermont. Hey, Cardzy, I love your witchy crafts. I'm looking for some fun crafts that I can make as last minute gifts. Eek, I know I'm a procrastinator. Anything with herbs, any fun elixirs, that would be great to give to the fam. Thanks so much, Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth. How is Burlington, Vermont? I freaking love, I've never been, but I love the idea of Vermont in the winter. Like, for those of you who listen a lot, you know I love horror movies. I even love like Christmas horror. That's been my most recent genre of like Krampus, Black Christmas, A Christmas Horror Story. But I also love really cheesy old romantic Christmas movies. I love old Hollywood. Like I'm talking Bing Crosby, Marilyn Monroe, and Some Like It Hot. Love all of that. And a lot of those take place in like New England, Northeast in the snow. So, White Christmas, Holiday Inn. I've always been like, what is Vermont like this time of year? So sorry, sidebar, but yeah, cool. I would love to come visit you. Anyway, let's take a look at some holiday crafts that are pretty easy. You can do last minute. I'm going to say this is being recorded a few days early, but if you're watching this live on the 20th. Yeah. The 20th is Sunday. Cause we're talking about the solstice, the Yule energy's coming in. If you're celebrating Yule, you can probably get these if stores are open near you at like a craft store like Michael's. I got these little, I'm going to make what we call a witch ball or a manifesting ornament. And they come in packs like this. If you have any little crafty stores, you can probably still get these last minute. Otherwise, you can always order these online. Just Google glass ornaments, clear glass ornaments that come empty. These are awesome. They're very inexpensive, and they can be reused if you're using them for yourself and you want to empty them out and work with different herbs at another point. So one of my favorite things to do with these, I've heard many names for them. Witch balls, these are known especially for creation at Yule, but people use them for protection and manifesting throughout the year. But yeah, witch balls, prosperity ornaments, manifesting ornaments, spell balls, all of the above, whatever you feel inclined to call it. So I use mostly herbs with this, but I also, this is a great, I got this on Etsy. I try to support, small businesses, other small business owners in this time especially. It's $100 of US currency shredded from a rodeo on Etsy, and they had these little bags that they shred themselves. You can also shred your own money if you want to do this, if you wanted to like shred a dollar bill. This is, I'm making a prosperity ball to show you. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to put some of this shredded dollar bill. I'm going to add some herbs then in addition to this. So I use rose and mugwort in almost anything. If you have listened to any of my elixir recipes or on my social, you know these are my two go-tos. Rose petals are for love and self-healing. So if we're doing this from a place of manifesting abundance with the dollar bills, we want to do this with love, with kindness, with consciousness. From a place of manifesting abundance, that's love for ourselves and love for the collective. Maybe y'all don't want to do it that way, but I feel like I'm doing this from a conscious manifesting and kind of like a soul alignment manifesting, which I feel like if you're listening to this, that's where you're coming from. So the putting in some of our shredded money, and then some of the rose petals for that like conscious manifesting, coming from a place of love, coming from a place of healing ourselves and others. And this is also healing any blocks or lack of abundance stories we may have, healing those blocks. I'm also going to put the mugwort. Mugwort is our biggest powerful third eye herb. It looks a little bit like weed when you get it dried. And it's in these really pretty long green leaves when you grow it. My friend Stephanie grows it and gives it to me from Brooklyn. And then when it's dried, it looks like this. This is really that third eye awareness. A lot of people drink this as a tea for astral travel, for lucid dreaming, for just like awakening the third eye and psychic senses. I want this in my manifesting ornament because I want it to come from a place of conscious connection, right? Of really having the discernment and the intuition to say yes to the right opportunities and pass on the ones that are not in resonance and not on my frequency. So mugwort. I'm also gonna use bay leaf. So bay leaf is the manifesting herb. You know, where we can burn, we can write with a Sharpie or a pen on a bay leaf what it is we're calling in and burn it down to let that kind of alchemize and come to fruition. So I do, you can crush it. I mean, it's the openings in these ornaments are quite small. So I kind of crush it up and fit it in. You can roll it if you want your bay leaf whole and it's not as frail and fragile as mine, but I'm going to put some bay leaf in there. I'm also going to, what am I going to work with? I'm going to use some lavender. I'm going to use lavender for doing this with like ease and grace, right? Lavender is that, like, we know it's for relaxation, for reducing stress. It's just kind of like, this should be stress-free manifesting. This should be like, it feels easy. It feels like I got this. It's coming in super easy. Also, if you want to use any oils or tinctures that you have, I create my own manifesting honey tincture that I put in my matcha every morning. And this is infused with rose petals for love, Damiana for doing it with like kind of that sacral chakra, Sagittarius, sexy fun vibes, and mugwort for intuition. So I'm going to do just a little dropper full of this. You can also use any essential oils that speak to you and what you're working with in your witch ball and your spell ornament. Okay, so then just putting this little topper back on, I'm going to show you of a prettier one that I already made for my friend Christina so that you can see when they're complete. Ta-da! And you can hang this if you do a Christmas tree, a holiday tree. If not, I actually have mine. I have a prosperity ball for my business in my doorway and I keep this year round. It has actually brought a lot of prosperity since I hung it a couple months ago. I've seen a drastic increase. So I do very much believe in these, but you can hang it if you want to do it. It's a seasonal as a Yule celebration, you know, between Yule is the 21st to the 31st in that time frame, or you're, you know, I like mine year round. I hang it in my doorway. So whatever speaks to you. The other thing for Yule, so this is great as a gift to others. It's also great as a gift to yourself. Like I said, I made myself one and I hung it. Another thing that's great for Yule is wassail as an elixir. And this, I'm not going to make it because it's like messy and there's pots and pans. And I'm in my little tarot parlor with, that's not a kitchen. Maybe I'll start doing more kitchen episodes. My niece says that I should in my kitchen. Very witchy Martha Stewart. But I'm going to show you one that you can purchase if you don't like to, if you're like, I'm not into the, like, you know, making and cooking stuff and making a big mess. This I love. I think it's pronounced Belvoir Fruit Farm and it's from the UK. They sell it in the States. They sell this in Whole Foods and a lot of grocery stores that have like healthy non-GMO organic objects. non-GMO ingredients, I guess, which are objects. But this is, it's awesome because it's literally just elderberry juice, black currant, orange, and then clove, cinnamon, nutmeg, which is how I make my wassail. I love elderberry as a base. It's healing from a medical standpoint. It's what we use to combat like cold and flu season. And then it's also kind of a healing and restorative from a metaphysical standpoint of really like bringing you back to that zero point of any energy that has been drained. Elderberry is great for restoring. And then we have cloves, cinnamon for intuition, cloves, which is like a fire herb of manifestation, making things fast. And nutmeg, which I need to look that up. I'm not as familiar with the magical purposes of nutmeg, but it's a great seasonal. It's associated with Yule. So this is, like I said, you can purchase this if you just want to like have this as an elixir for yourself offer as a gift. Wassail came about with the celebration of Yule, which in the Wiccan practice, it's a fire festival like Samhain, that it's like lighting fires for gratitude and celebration. Yule is kind of the end of the old rain and the new sun, the new solar king coming in as the days start to get lighter. So there's a lot of gratitude for what we've learned in the darkness. And when you think about that, dude, there's a lot of darkness in 2020, right? A lot of darkness. What did we learn in that? How did it make us stronger? And how are we now celebrating receiving that increased light, that new solar king coming in? Wassail was something that was drinking during that time to kind of celebrate and cheers, and also given back to the earth, of given to the trees, given to the forest out of gratitude for the celebration of Yule. So that's something you can do too. If you have outdoor space and you're kind of like giving gratitude back to the earth, this is a great way to celebrate. And I will, like I said, I will be making my own. I'm probably going to have my magical niece help me with that. But, if you want to buy it, this is great. It's so funny. We were going to this store that I love that sells incense and crystals and a lot of the tools that I work with, and they were closed. They were having, just a period where they were doing inventory. They were closed down. And Savannah and I were super disappointed. We're like, oh, we wanted to go get this like Krampus incense and a bunch of other things we love from the store. And across the street was this little Irish shop. And I've been in there maybe once in my whole like lifetime of being from this area. But I said, do you want to go in there? I'm really feeling called to go in there. And she was like, oh my gosh, like you're so crazy. Because she always laughs at me. Like, I'll just do anything. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm feeling pulled over there. Let's try it. So we walked in. And as soon as we saw this, I was like, Wassail. Yes, we can get this. And that way, at least if I, for whatever reason, don't have time to make it, I know, like I said, this is all natural, organic, no GMOs, great ingredients, and that we have our wassail to celebrate Yule on Monday. Also, before I head out, where you can, allow yourself to rest on Monday for the Yule celebration and the solstice coming in. A lot of people are like, oh my gosh, it's going to be this crazy event, like solar flares, maybe. I don't really think it's going to be like a crazy exterior 3D event. I just think that like we are ascending and evolving a lot in this time, especially between the eclipses and the solstice, of letting more light, letting more of that solar energy in to increase our frequencies. So the more that we work with that we allow ourselves to receive it, breathe into it. I'm not doing any readings on Monday. For me personally, that's how I'm giving back to myself. I'm going to Stargate meditation at a really cool space near me called Graceful Heart that has like a whole space where they do these Stargate meditations. That's my like, I'm gonna just be in the energy, gonna receive that solar light, gonna give gratitude for the new solar king coming in Yule. So where you can, I know a lot of us have obligations, clients, jobs that we can't take off all of the 21st, but where you can take a chunk of that day for you to just really receive is going to be a great way to start Yule and a great way to step into this next phase of the world. So thank you so much. Thank you for being with me through all of these 100 and I think 20 episodes over the past 2 years and building this to what it is. I'm excited to see you on the other side of 2021 with the Hierophant, with my new podcast, Hex in the City. I can't wait to add even more value, even more magic to the podcasting space with my new team. And stay magical. I love you all. Stay magical AF.